It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
It was fun to watch it play out.
Yep.
The ceremonies in the beginning made me want to be a Patriots fan so bad. Oh, with the five Lombardis, yeah. And they're trotting out all their guys. And,
yep.
And then you see Brady lead him out of the tunnel.
Yeah, he's all fired up.
And
ready to go.
Tony Dungy said he's played a lot of big games at Foxborough, and he's never heard the crowd that loud in pregame. That's what he said on Football Night in America.
I give Roger Goodell all the credit.
It was, yeah, an incredible beginning and start to that game. And it was on its way to being an early embarrassment for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then Rob Gronkowski, who we thought made an amazing catch, and Chris Collinsworth going through the replay of, wow, what a catch by Rob Gronkowski. And then, uh-oh, it hits the ground. They don't convert on a 4th-and-1. Things start to change for the Kansas City Chiefs. Long drive at the end of the second quarter. And then in the second half and in the fourth quarter, big plays exposing this New England Patriots defense and a victory for the Chiefs in week one, 42-27 over New England in their house. A humbling experience for the Patriots.
Huge turnaround. You got sudden change. New England goes down and scores. Then Kareem Hunt, his first carry in the NFL. He fumbles something he's never done, at least not at the collegiate level. And if you paid attention to CBS Sports Network, you would have witnessed the talent that this guy possesses. And we had a ton of Toledo games over the last few years on CBS Sports Network. But he makes up for that in a huge way. What a way to announce yourself to the NFL. But after the fumble, you have the not catch or no catch by Gronkowski. There was a penalty on the play, so you get another shot. You go for it on fourth down, and you're stopped. That defense for Kansas City, they rose up time and time again all throughout that football game, even losing Eric Berry late in the game. That was huge, a huge stop when you could have been behind the eight ball by 14 points, and then who knows what happens at that point. But defense made a huge play, and they continued to do that, taking Gronkowski out of the equation, applying pressure to Tom Brady all night long. I think he was sacked, what, 3 times in this ballgame, pressured numerous times. So a huge applaud to the defense. They were outstanding.
Yeah, and on the road in that situation is a tough one. And I think that maybe more shocking than the Patriots defense giving up big plays, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, those two big pass plays to Alex Smith, might have been the fact that the offense didn't do much of anything in the fourth quarter. 21-0, the Chiefs outscored the Patriots in the fourth quarter. That, to me, is more shocking. You want to tell me that the Patriots gave up a lot of points, there were some big plays there by some great young, fast playmakers for the Chiefs. All right, I could buy that. But no points in the fourth quarter at home with this offense? So now all the questions are, how much does Edelman mean to this team? Are there too many guys that came in the offseason that maybe don't know the system yet? I think the Patriots will end up being fine.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes you need a game like this to straighten you out a little bit. Not that I think a loss is a good loss, but if you're going to get your butts whipped and try to figure things out, and the best time to do it is the first game of the season. And they came out of it relatively healthy. The big injury, as you mentioned, Eric Berry tearing his Achilles, it's just not fair. I mean, this is a guy who comes back from cancer.
Yeah.
He is as hard of a working guy and one of the best guys in the league, if you know anything about him. He is just, he's an amazing player, an amazing person, resilient, and now he's got to deal with this. Now, it's not official, but Andy Reid said it looks like he tore his Achilles. It's a full tear, of course, he's done. A partial tear, I guess there's a chance, but it sucks for anybody, but a guy like Eric Berry has worked so hard to get back and be an elite player, too, again, to deal with this in week one of the season is just, it really, it's to turn you off.
And they've dealt with this injury before. Derrick Johnson, their all-world, all-time leading tackler of that franchise, dealt with an Achilles heel at the end of the season last year. His second stint on the IR with an Achilles tear, and now Barry is dealing with that. And New England, they lose Amendola. And it's interesting. I was just thinking about how long he would last throughout the season because he has a history of injuries, and he goes out of the ball game, possibly a concussion for Amendola. And then you lose Hightower, you know, the heart of your defense, I would say. And Kansas City exploited that position after he was out of the ball game with Kareem Hunt, long touchdown grab, perfect throw. Let's sing the praises of Alex Smith. He was outstanding. Everyone was talking about the heir apparent. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. Well, that may be the case, but he's not right now, though, because Alex Smith, that's how you deal with competition. You go out and you play lights out like he did. He wasn't dinking and dunking. He was getting the ball down the field. He threw some dimes throughout the night, so he had some nice pocket from which to work from, and then he hit his receivers in stride time and time again.
Yeah, and I think that Alex Smith probably knows that no matter how he plays – next year, there's a good chance he's not going to be around. But one thing he doesn't want to happen is lose his job mid-season this year, because that would be embarrassing for him. And I had some questions about, you know, how the Chiefs were going to do it this year, because I bought big stock in Kareem Hunt in fantasy football. I did, and seeing that last night made me feel great. Three touchdowns and doing it on the ground and catching passes. But I wasn't sure exactly what to expect from the guy. And the fact that, you know, wide receivers, new guys, young guys, how are you going to use Tyreek Hill? Is Travis Kelce going to be someone that's going to be shut down because there's going to be so much attention paid?
He gets another personal foul, they're going to shut him down.
Yeah, I know, which we will get to. But I wasn't sure. I didn't know if this offense was going to be able to do things, and they did. And then the fact that they came back, too, in this game, because the Chiefs are not a team that you feel like has the best opportunity to come back. Andy Reid's going to want to not get the ball down the field as much, and you started to see that a little bit last night, more risks, more big throws for Andy Reid. And if Pat Mahomes is going to be the quarterback soon, you're going to see a lot more down the field stuff with his skill set. But it's week one. There's going to be a ton of overreactions. This game always feels to me like forever ago. Like when we get into December and you think about this game, it feels like 6 years ago because of all the stuff that happened in the NFL. You have a big week one slate, of course, on Sunday. So this may mean nothing come week 10. But if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you have to love this. This is about the greatest regular season win you could possibly get outside of clinching a playoff berth come week 15 or 16.
Well, especially when it's an 8-point spread on the ball game. No one's giving you a chance. They're celebrating another Super Bowl victory. You're on the road. It doesn't look like you have a shot in the dark in this deal, and you do. You come out and you fight hard. You overcome some adversity early in the ball game. You have a rookie running back putting it on the turf, and yet everyone keeps their wits about them, and they continue to play hard. Defense steps up in big moments. So, yes, there's going to be an overreaction, but Kansas City has a damn lot to be proud of in this ball game, and you'll have 9 days to digest it, but get it out of your system because, yes, it's a long season. We've seen this movie before. Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels talked about it on the broadcast last night. A few years back, New England opens up at Kansas City, gets whipped, and everyone thinking it's over, and Brady's lost it, and Belichick doesn't have the magic touch anymore, and they come back the next week and they blast Cincinnati. So great ball game, very entertaining. Didn't expect that offense of New England to be shut down. And to answer your question earlier, you know, about these new pieces, are there too many new pieces? No, but is it going to take a moment for them to get acclimated? Yes. Now, Brady did hit Cooks a couple times, but they've got to get in a rhythm and a chemistry. Yes, you can have that in practice, but now you're going up against a team that's scheming to take certain things away, like Gronkowski and Hogan. So now he's got to get used to these other guys and get in rhythm and in sync with the new pieces that are on the offensive side of the ball. They ran the ball well.
Yeah.
I thought that looked pretty good.
Yeah, they did. Burkhead and Gillislee with three touchdowns for Mike Gillislee, who is clearly their goal line back, something that we weren't sure was going to happen. How are they going to handle the backs with James White, Rex Burkhead, and Mike Gillislee? I think something that does hurt, though, the Patriots no pun intended, with bringing in all these new guys is you need to have anchors on both sides of the ball. Of course, Tom Brady's going to be an anchor. But, I mean, Edelman, you look at the history of Tom Brady with Edelman and without Edelman, and the offense is better with Edelman, clearly. But mm-hmm. It's not like you could just plug in somebody else like you can at other positions with the Patriots. And we'll see about the Hightower injury. I mean, he did ride a bike afterwards. He didn't go into the locker room and not come back. He spent the rest on the bench. But he is their captain. And when you're I don't need to tell you, you're a linebacker and the captain, and then you have to change that position if he's out for an extended period of time, and you've got a bunch of new guys on the defense, that's not going to be a good thing whatsoever. So if they lose those two anchors on mm-hmm. both sides of the ball, we know Edelman's not coming back, then that is really going to change the outlook of when this team is going to be able to gel. I still think they're going to be fine. There's no one in the AFC East that's going to be able to touch them. They're going to go back to the playoffs. But this was the smelling salt after a big celebration. The everything that we saw, Goodell's the only guy left Foxborough, by the way, with a smile on his face last night. That's for sure. Him and the Kansas City Chiefs. But maybe this was the smelling salt that is going to get Bill Belichick angry and the chip on their shoulder that they always seem to need.
Well, if there's anyone in the game that knows how to coach up his pieces, it's Bill Belichick. And they find every little wrinkle to get better and to take advantage of anything, any holes in your offense or defense. So they're masterminds at this. So they'll coach up their new pieces on defense, whoever has to step up in case Hightower's out and Amendola's out for a long time. They'll coach them up, and they'll find somebody to step up. If there's any team that lives and breathes next man up, it's the New England Patriots. So they'll be much better than they were in this first ball game. And so no one's sitting here thinking this is the end of the New England Patriots. But for those who thought they'd go undefeated, well, you forget about that. And we knew it'd be tougher trying to repeat as they're on this march now to try to do that, of course. But I'm not going to fret over that. But I love what I saw from Kansas City. Now, we've seen this from Kansas City before. Can they hold up? Can they forget about this game and not celebrate too much and not make more of this, as we're not going to make more of a loss by New England at the beginning of the season? So now can they use this as a rallying cry and continue to be consistent and play good football from here on out?
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are one of those teams in sports. I mean, unless they go undefeated in the regular season, I mean, there's nothing they can do in the regular season that's going to really make people take that much of a notice because of their struggles in the postseason. And same thing with Andy Reid. I mean, this guy doesn't have a history of winning a lot of big games. I mean, he made it his job to lose NFC championship games. He got the one and then ended up losing in the Super Bowl, of course, with the Philadelphia Eagles. But it's one of those teams that you cannot really feel good about until you see them start winning a couple of playoff games. Unfortunately for them, even with the success they had, I will like to give Andy Reid a lot of credit, though. You mentioned the Kareem Hunt fumble on his first carry. Looked good. It was a 9-yard gain, but then, of course, the ball gets knocked away. He loses a fumble. Hadn't lost a fumble in his entire career at Toledo at one, and he fell on it. But a lot of head coaches do that stupid, well, I'm going to bench him now because he fumbled. And I never like that, because when you stew, you sit on it, you're thinking about it constantly. I don't think that sends a positive message to a player. Yeah, of course. I think the player knows by now he's not supposed to fumble and it's a bad thing. He doesn't need to go and put the dunce cap on the bench and sit there and watch other guys go and take his job. And the fact that Andy Reid knew he wasn't a fumbler, it wasn't a problem for him in college, and throws him right back out there and says, I've got confidence in you, rookie, I think that's the right move, and I can't stand when coaches do it the other way.
Well, they do it the other way if there's a history with that player. Now, if you got a guy like this who you've moved up in the draft because he takes such good care of the football, and it's his first carry in the NFL, maybe nerves got the best of him, yeah, you throw him back in there. Get back on that horse. Let's see what you do with the next carry. He goes back out there, and he gets a nice gain on his next carry, and then he's off to the races. So if it's early in a ball game, it's a player new to your team, and he doesn't have that history, yeah, it's a no-doubter. put him back in there. And plus, how many different options do you have? You just lost a guy who was going to be your starter. You thrust this rookie into action. That made perfect sense to put him back in there. But, yes, you've seen other coaches. If the guy has a history, he fumbled a couple times in a ball game, yeah, you're going to sit. You're going to have to stew on this for a moment.
Yeah, and...
But to your point earlier about the throwing the ball down the field, I'm watching this game, and I can't recall the Kansas City Chiefs throwing the ball down the field as much as they did. They've got some dynamite talent with Hill, and you throw in Wilson, and you got DeAnthony Thomas. They got some speedsters they can lean on now in this passing game. And then you put Hunt in the mix. And so, yeah, they're going to chunk it down the field. You got the tight end Kelsey who can go over the middle. They got some firepower now in this offense that they haven't had in a long, long time.
When I was watching the pregame show, they did this feature on Bill Belichick, and he went back to his high school and talked to the team, and he's smiling, and he's putting on helmets, and you've seen him do a couple things, that Nantucket magazine shoot that he did. And, I mean, this guy is as happy as he's ever been in his life. And even Rodney Harrison said it, too. He goes, I think he's in a really good place in his life right now. He's got a couple of kids that are in coaching, including his daughter, I think, who's coaching lacrosse or soccer. He's just really got that championship last year. His relationship's great. Everything's good for Bill Belichick. And then, whap. And then not everything's good for Bill Belichick. He's probably going to be really, really angry now for the rest of the season because of what happened last night. But that's where the Patriots operate best, is when they're angry, when they're slighted, when there's a chip on their shoulder. Last year was the ultimate version of that. With the Brady suspension, him coming back, the fact that they're down a million points at halftime in the Super Bowl, and they come back from that, everybody counted us out. We were going to be done. Tom Brady serving his suspension with Garoppolo and Brissett and everybody else winning games for him. This is what they need. The league would have been better off if the Patriots won by 20 points last night.
Well, isn't Belichick always angry? He always looks
but
like he's
but
upset.
But he's turned. But my point was, though, that yes, he is. But this is the happiest he's ever been. I mean, it's if you would have seen that piece.
Well, from our perspective, yes.
I mean, it's just. Yeah. But I think from everybody's.
He would probably say, I'm always happy.
No, he's
you
not.
I'm sure he is. He just doesn't show it.
No, I think that now is Rodney Harrison knows him better than we do. He goes, he's a real good place in his life right now. He's got he's got five Super Bowls.
I know. He was in a good place after the first one, after the second one, after the third one, after the fourth one. This one's sweeter because of what they were dealing with in the whole Deflategate. But even though they won it after the Deflategate,
I'm telling
immediately
you,
after.
This guy's happier than he's ever been. He wouldn't have done that Nantucket magazine shoot if he wasn't,
no,
he wasn't
the
happy.
Power to. You know what?
Well, that's part of it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Isn't that part of it being happy?
It's not the first time. You've got some kids, right?
I don't know why you're arguing with me on this. This guy's a happy guy.
Go Pats!
Listen to him. He's happy, man.
He's changed.
Days off! All right. Coming up next, your thoughts on what happened last night. Are the Patriots in trouble or just a little bit of a misstep? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Travis Kelce at it again. That's also coming up next. An Andrew Bogish update. We're coming right back.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
The same woman?
Why don't you correct that woman?
Well, again, the first day it happened, it was funny, and then we wanted to keep it going so we could record it. But the subplot was that I was mildly insulted that, you know, there's four or five people up there sitting around her.
Yeah.
And I'm there every day now.
Right.
I feel like one person could have been like, that's not his name.
Mm-hmm. He's not Borgish.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, boom.
And you do a really good job of knowing everybody, being nice to everybody, and making yourself available. You're a utility guy. You do anything that anybody asks of you. It's insulting now to you that your name isn't a work name that is recognized.
I'm disappointed that the people on the desk upstairs, the news desk up there in that newsroom, because I've never met them face to face, but there are people I've talked to every day, and I've been on their station for months now.
Yeah.
Every day, at least once, if not six, seven, eight times.
Go put your foot down, man.
And I would just Come one on. Person to go, ah.
Standard Borgish.
Is that I kind of like Borgish.
That's the old one. Let's hear the new one. There's so many of them now. Pete has to sift through all of them. So this happened when? This morning?
No, Wednesday.
This is Wednesday. Okay, let's take a listen.
Good afternoon. I'm Maria Garcia. It is 12:15. Time for WCBS Sports. Here is Andrew Borgish.
Maria, wow, Mother Nature cooperates.
She really went in on that
she
one.
She thinks my name is Borgish. She does not.
Really? I mean, she emphasized Borgish.
Right.
She's What's her name again? Maria what?
Garcia.
Yeah, we're going to have to go see her. I'm going to go see you, Maria. Wow. Get my boy name right.
So confident in Borgish.
You should, when you throw it back to her, thank you, Martha.
Now, see, he can't do that. He's too much of a pro.
But I do say my name at the end.
Yeah.
I do say Andrew Borgish, WCBS News Radio 880 Sports.
I feel like this Maria's going, I mean, this guy doesn't even know his own name. Why is he doing sports?
Listen to the disdain in Andrew's voice after she says it.
Okay.
Here is Andrew Borgish.
Maria, if Mother Nature cooperates, the Mets will host the film.
Maria. God, I can just see it shaking your head. Maria, girls. Say, Mother Nature cooperates, unlike you.
Push back, man. So, Maria, it is actually Borgish.
Bogish.
No, it's Borgish.
Oh, okay. Well,
Maria, if, might as well be now for continuity's sake.
I can talk to her if you'd like.
I would actually. I have Pete text her.
Maria, it is Pete.
What's going on?
Maria, this nice special needs man came up to me and talked about
Andrew Borgish.
Talked about this guy's name. It was weird.
It took him a while, but finally we got to the gist of it.
All right, but what's your name?
Call him Borgish.
Whatever it is.
All right, Andrew Borgish.
Hey, thanks.
Never mind. Go for it.
What? What are you going to say?
I'll save it. He's going to get there.
Okay, very good.
It has something to do with his shirt.
Borgish.
All right, so good thing there in New England, because Bill Belichick's boys will be busy between opening night and next Sunday in New Orleans.
There's a lot of things we need to work on. We need to get to work. We need to improve them. So it's a pretty lengthy list. That's what we'll do.
The Patriots licking their wounds after getting gouged in the second half by the Chiefs.
Smith barks out an audible. He's got Kelce in there, tight wing left side. They're going to toss it right to Hunt, trying to get to the edge. 4-yard line, 3-yard line, 2-yard line. Stretching out for the pylon. He's got a touchdown! Kansas City, third touchdown of the night for the rookie Kareem Hunt.
That's Mitch Hultis on Chiefs Radio. KC won the second half 28-10, 21 of those points coming in the fourth quarter to win the game 42-27. Hunt had those three scores and 246 scrimmage yards, the most ever in an NFL debut since the merger in 1970. Tyreek Hill added 133 receiving yards and a score, just 7 incompletions, 4 touchdown passes, no picks from Alex Smith, while Tom Brady was only 16 for 36 without a score for the Pats. The injury report from last night is significant. Chiefs safety Eric Berry may have suffered a torn Achilles. Pats linebacker Dante Hightower hurt a knee, and wideout Danny Amendola suffered a concussion. The Browns released safety Calvin Pryor yesterday, reportedly because he fought with receiver Ricardo Lewis on the field before practice. College football, Florida State has canceled tomorrow's game with Louisiana Monroe because of Hurricane Irma. Florida will not play Northern Colorado, and South Florida not traveling now to UConn. They did it again. 15 straight wins for the Indians, an 11-2 rout of the White Sox last night. Manager Terry Francona impressed with his team's focus.
We try to stay in the moment. I think that's the best thing, is this team stays in the moment really well. So now we'll move on. We'll pack up. We'll run home and see how we do tomorrow.
Which is now tonight against the Orioles. Cleveland is the first team since the Cubs in 1935 and 36 with winning streaks of 14-plus games in back-to-back seasons. The Twins scored 3 in the 9th in KC to win 4-2. Minnesota leads the Idle Angels by a full game now for the second AL wild card. The Royals are 3.5 back. The Rockies roughed up Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers 9-1. LA has lost 7 straight, 12 of 13. The Padres blanked the Cardinals 3-0, and the Cubs got an 8-2 win in Pittsburgh. And Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys will play the first All-American U.S. Open women's final since 2002. Stevens knocked off Venus Williams 7-5 in the third and final set last night. Boys?
All right. Thanks, Bogish.
Well, he didn't get to it. Or maybe I missed it. He didn't talk about the Yankees winning a series in Baltimore for the first time. And the guy who saved that series was, or that game-winning series, was Mariano Rivera. And it was 2014.
Yes. This is a Jackie Robinson shirt, first of all. Second of all, that game happened in the afternoon yesterday, so it's not on my radar. But
thanks for asking. It should be on your radar. That's Mariano's number.
Yeah. Mario's too.
Thank you.
Glad you did that, not me. Wait. You're saying to me that's not, I mean, that's not Jackie Robinson's number?
Yeah, it's Jackie's number, but who's the last guy to wear it? Mariano. My goodness!
I'm talking about Jackie Robinson, man.
And? I know we're talking about Jackie.
It's his number.
I know it's his number. You know, it was Mariano's number, too.
To me, the greatest 42 in baseball history is Butch Husky. He was...
I remember Butch Husky.
Yeah. I loved Butch Husky when he came with...
You weren't even born. What was Butch around?
What are you talking about? I wasn't born.
Was that early?
Mid-90s.
Yeah, it was in the 90s. I was like 12. And then we came up
Butch
with a Mets.
Husky.
And I was big. I was a big Butch Husky. I thought he was going to be a star. And it didn't work out that way. I actually have a Butch Husky signed bat that my mom got me from when I was like 11 or 12 years old.
You really did like Butch.
I loved Butch. I thought that bat was going to go right to the Hall of Fame at some point. It's in the closet somewhere in my house. Butch Husky, Butch number 42. Husky.
Wow.
Yeah. Number 42 in your programs, number one in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin in Calgary joins us on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening, Kevin? Good morning.
Oh, you guys have such a great show. You wake me up at 4 in the morning. I drive all night. But anyways, I just had a question for Brian, a longtime Raiders fan. We were watching the first part of the game there when they scored the first touchdown. And there was a holding call, so the touchdown didn't count. They spotted the ball on the 2-yard line.
They're offsetting penalties. They didn't announce the penalty, or the television broadcast didn't show the call for the other penalty. There was offsetting penalties on that play. That's why they placed it back at the 2.
Yeah, because we're saying, holy jeez, what's going on? and then there was a questionable one about the interference, early in the game, and I said, oh, here we go, New England getting their way again. But no, I'm glad you cleared that up. I take you in every night at 4:00, and you make me laugh, and it keeps me going. So you guys have a good night.
All right, Thanks, Kevin.
Keep taking us in,
yes,
Kevin.
Yes.
We appreciate that, man.
Do that. And I think that interference was on Mitchell and Brandon Cooks over there on the left sideline. So, there was offsetting penalties, and they only called one.
A couple of things we saw for the first time last night. The centralized replay where the official is not looking under the hood, but it's rather being reviewed in New York, and then the decision to the official on the field. And also the elimination of one of the most annoying things that the football broadcast has ever given us, which is touchdown, commercial, kickoff, commercial.
Yeah.
If you noticed last night, no more of that. Now, the breaks are a little bit longer within the game.
Right.
But there's not as many commercial breaks, and that is across the board. That's not just a football night in America, Sunday night football thing. That's going to be across the board. You're not going to see that anymore, and I am really, really happy that you don't, because it's just maddening. Now, there's too many commercials when it's a standalone game, as there is, but I do think that, I mean, you understand why. I do think that is a positive impact for sure.
Yeah, I agree. That was so mind-numbing to have a kickoff after a commercial and then go right back to another commercial. Can we just get back to the game? So I'm glad we don't have to endure that anymore.
Travis Kelce, in another pregame feature, was talking about how he's matured, how he's a leader now. I mean, this is
a change my ways.
And change guy. I mean, we've seen him before, throw a flag back at an official.
Which was warranted.
But, I mean, come on. We've seen him, act like an immature player. So, as he sits down, he's, man, I'm telling you, I'm a leader. And he went on that stupid reality show where he was finding dates. It wasn't a good look for him there either.
What's wrong with going on a reality show?
It just looked like it. Just do it after your playing career or something. I don't know. It's just strange to me. It just was odd. It just came off weird.
Trying to start a family, man. Early.
you got to do it on TV. Anyway, so the point is that he's been an immature jerk for most of his career. So he's thinking, brand new. Travis Kelce, 2017, until he's down on the ground. Kyle Van Noy of the Patriots is above him, and Travis Kelce takes the football and shoves it into his junk.
Yeah. Come on, man. Kyle Van Noy, one of my favorites when he was coming out of BYU. Of course, they got him from the Lions. And was he giving you the business? Didn't seem so, like he was. And was it taking too long to just get off of you? What was the deal?
Yeah, that's usually what happens, though. These guys get really annoyed when they've got a player on top of them or he's taking his time or they'll push off a little bit. Like, that seems to be a catalyst for a lot of instances like this.
I didn't see him, and maybe they didn't show the what was happening on the ground there long enough, but I didn't see Kyle Van Noy doing anything that was unseemly and it would have caused you to throw the ball or plant the ball in his undercarriage. And yeah. Yeah, and then the first thing that comes to mind is that piece they just showed on Travis Kelce. Oh, he's a new guy. I can't do the things I used to do. I have to be more mature. I'm a captain now. Yeah.
And we are in the golden age of junk shots in sports,
I know,
aren't we?
What's up with that?
I mean, it seems
like. With your generation, man.
But it's not my generation. These people are younger than me.
Dude, what are you doing?
It's not, you know, I'm closer to Tom Brady's age than I am most of these other guys.
Going after the. I have respect for the junk.
Seriously. And they should know. You should know that.
Hey! You got junk. It hurts.
I was man crushing on Tom Brady last night earlier.
Were you?
I was just thinking, when he ran out of that tunnel and he was like faster than everybody.
How about that?
And I was just looking at him like, you SOB, you are unbelievable. Here you are, you just won the Super Bowl. I mean, you look like you did 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, there's something
40
to be said.
Years old. I was just looking like, you know, and I thought about maybe I'll get his meal plan for like $8 million.
How long did you think about it? How long did you contemplate it?
Like 6 or 7 minutes.
What? That's a record for you. I thought you were going to say 6 or 7 seconds.
Well, just look. He looks so young.
He looks like he did when he came in the league. He looks better than he did when he came in the league. And I was thinking about it as well. I was like, man, you take care of your body and you do things a little differently than everyone else, and this is what can happen. But I think you have to be the right person, and of course, take care of your body. A lot of guys do that, but still, to have the longevity that he's enjoyed, and doesn't seem like he's lost anything as far as his pitching arm. It's just amazing that the guy at 40 is still he's ascending, like he's descending whatsoever.
Yeah, and it wasn't a great night for him last night, but you know he's going to bounce back. You know he's going to be great.
Anybody, I don't care who you are, if you can't get protection, which he didn't have, especially late in the ball game, you're going to look like that. So whether you're Tom Brady or you're a young pup coming in the league, you need some protection.
Did you see this was hilarious? And I noticed it when it happened, and then I looked at Twitter, and Joe Thomas, the left tackle for the Cleveland Browns, that always seems to be a name that's around the trading deadline in the NFL, he tweeted about it too. When Chris Collinsworth was showing a replay and was featuring the Patriots right tackle,
Marcus Cannon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's featuring him. He's like, man, this Marcus Cannon done an amazing job.
Right.
Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach, man, he did an amazing, turn this guy around. So they show the replay. And he's standing there. He's not hitting anybody. Like he didn't touch a guy.
So people were scared to come into his area.
He's just standing there, like putting his hands out in the air, like he's doing Tai Chi. No one's even near him. And Joe Thomas tweets out, he's like, only Chris Collinsworth could feature a guy, an offensive lineman, on a play where he doesn't touch anybody. He goes, it might happen 2 times a year.
Wow.
2 times an entire season. It was hilarious.
Horned frogs.
Yeah.
Go, Marcus. Yeah, he didn't look so great late because Justin Houston got the best of him.
Coming up next, a big day for the NFL and a big day for the Dallas Cowboys.
This is 15-year NFL veteran Takiyo Spikes, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
4 straight days, we've had a 2-time Super Bowl champion on the show. 4 straight days. Can you name them all, Brian, with your terrible memory?
Justin Tuck.
Yep.
That's it. Who else? Mario Rivera.
No.
Mariano Rivera.
No. Those were World Series and were more than two. Well, just keep sitting on it. Think about it. See if you can come up by the end of the segment, because I know I'm putting you on the spot. Let's see how well do you know what happened to you? This will be a nice little test. How well?
Justin Tuck. Justin Tuck. That's 4. Joe Carter.
No.
Carlos Delgado.
We're back to baseball again.
Oh, you said Super Bowl. I thought you said World Series. Oh, man. Why you do that? Put me on the spot.
You're looking down at a rundown that does not have the answer on it.
Maybe it has some clues. Dick Saban.
No, not Dick Saban either. It's not. Remember when you did that? That was a weird one with Dick Saban.
It's not my fault.
I know, which is makes it tougher to deal with.
Fire Marshal Bill!
No, not him. Time to ask the pros, or you get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you get better parts, better prices every day. We'll have the parts you need to get the job done right with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. And the store's well-trained professionals standing by to help. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Today is the day, or everybody expects it to be the day, that the presiding judge, Amos L. Mazant III, is going to make a decision on this Ezekiel Elliott case and whether or not this temporary restraining order will be granted or not with his suspension. So we had Amy Dash on, who is our CBS legal analyst.
Did she win two Super Bowls?
She was not one of them, okay. No. One guy I'm very surprised you've forgotten about because you really like the dude. But anyway, okay. So she went to the weeds with it for us, and that interview is up on GeoandJones.com/audio. We can retweet it out maybe this morning saying this is what you can expect today. Bottom line is it goes one of two ways. It's either going to be the restraining order is going to play past week one, and this is going to be in the courts for a long time and then end up being like the Brady suspension, where I believe he'll end up serving that six-game suspension, whether it be at the end of this year if things move quickly or the beginning of next year if they don't, or he's going to start serving his six-game suspension starting week two. Those are the two options, and if there's no restraining order, it's the latter of the two where the suspension starts in week two after this Sunday night game against the Giants.
Yeah, it's going to be huge, and everyone's going to sit there, and they're watching this, especially in the Dallas area, very closely to see what this judge is going to rule. And listen to Amy the other day. She seems to think, per the questions he asked the attorneys, especially the league attorneys, she seems to think, and everyone else, that he's going to rule in favor of the Dallas Cowboys. He wants to see Zeke Elliott play. And we're going to have a situation that we had with Tom Brady where this just takes its time, and it may be next year before any suspension is handed out or at least served.
Yeah, and I know that she was half serious with that, but, I mean, this is why these things feel so silly to me, that that's even part of the conversation. Yeah. Because he was asking, well, what about this week? Is he going to play this week? Is he going to play this week? You know, two things popped to my mind was not only Cowboys fan, but also fantasy football player. I mean, that's probably, I drafted the guy, and so right. Now I need him to play. But that's got to be, that can't happen, right? I mean, there had to be some real motivation there. It couldn't have been the fact that he's a Cowboys fan or he's got him on his fantasy team.
Come
just
on.
Can't
be. Our judge having an agenda. Come on.
Yeah, and I never thought Ezekiel Elliott should have been suspended. I think six games is crazy for what we have seen, the details in this case. But I am confident and disgustingly confident that the NFL, at the end of this, will win once again because of the language in the CBA. It's just the way it is. They're going to get what they want.
Now, you think they will have the suspension reduced somewhat? Or it's going to be the whole six games?
Well, I don't see. That's what I don't. I think that part's over with because the appeal was heard by Harold Henderson. The whole six games was upheld.
So now it's six or nothing.
Right.
It's all or nothing.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive. But that.
Right.
But that's because the Brady thing was. He was four.
Right.
Or nothing.
And it ended up being four.
Yeah.
Right.
And the NFL's not going to go and reduce anything now too, because this. That's one thing we pointed out in the beginning was that when you challenge them, they're not going to be happy with that, and you will serve the full suspension. If you go into the office hat in hand and say, I'm sorry, I did this, what can I do to change, like Ben Roethlisberger did, then you get it reduced from six games to four games. Vontaze Burfict, the guy who knows about suspension, just signed he signed a contract extension.
How
with
about
the Bengals.
That?
Yeah,
Vontaze. They say he's a changed man as well.
Yeah,
Marvin
okay.
Lewis singing the praises of him. Didn't think he should have been fined and suspended for this latest infraction to hit during the preseason on the Chiefs running back. And so they felt like this is a guy they've developed, they've trained, a guy who would have been a high draft pick coming out of Arizona State if not for not showing well and exhibiting bad behavior even while he was at Arizona State. The behavior he exhibited on the football field, but there's no doubting his talent. He's a tremendous linebacker, excellent player, and they have rewarded him with a new contract, 3-year extension.
Yeah, and some people were surprised, oh, this guy's going to be suspended, and he's a dirty player, going to give him a contract. No, I mean, the history of Vontaze Burfict is the Bengals have always had his back, and because we talk about him mostly in this light, it doesn't mean that the guy isn't a phenomenal football player when he's playing the game clean and he's not getting suspended for certain hits. I mean, the guy's been their leading tackler. He's been, I mean, this was a guy who I believe ended up going undrafted after some of the things surrounding him coming out of Arizona State, and he turned into this unbelievable starting linebacker.
Well, he had this potential. There were just other missteps along the way. A lot of guys, teams had him pretty high as far as his talent, but it was all the ancillary antics of his, which we have seen from time to time as a pro, that kept them from drafting him pretty high.
The Browns cut safety Calvin Pryor because, allegedly, he was the mastermind behind a practice fight, if you will.
let's get this one okay.
Yeah.
Go get that receiver, Ricardo Lewis.
Yeah, Ricardo Lewis was the other guy in the fight, but Ricardo Lewis is still on the team after this fight. So it's probably more than just the fight.
Well, he's a guy that has been speaking his mind even when he was here with the New York Jets. And Todd Bowles and his staff, they couldn't wait to get rid of him. He, along with Sheldon Richardson, who's now with the Seattle Seahawks, they traded him to the Seahawks a few weeks ago. So Calvin Pryor was a guy, first-round pick. I thought he was going to be an excellent player coming out of Louisville, but that hasn't transpired. And now he gets into fisticuffs with a teammate there with his new team, and he's without a job for now. I think someone will probably pick him up, but not a good look for Mr. Pryor.
No, not at all. And I think that the Browns are done messing around with stuff.
Yeah.
I just think that you see them cutting Osweiler because they just forget it. With $16 million, we don't care. Get out of here. You're bad influence. You stink. It's something like this, too. We don't need you. You were a headache to begin with. We thought maybe we could resurrect something out of this, and now you're fighting with guys that we like. You get out of here, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to end up working for Hugh Jackson, but I like the approach.
Right.
I mean, the no-nonsense approach.
You have enough to worry about. Right. I can't have this dissension amongst the ranks.
If you're ever going to turn this thing around, it's going to be that type of attitude. All right, coming up next, huge weekend in college football. We'll get into it on Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.